We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
So last night we used our fourth and final hour to remind everyone that it is indeed baseball season. It took us till, well, yesterday was, I guess, June 17th for us to reach a baseball conversation. Today, June 18th, we continue that baseball conversation with proof that the Giants are now just 15 and a half back. I smell a playoff push. Well, maybe that's exaggerating a little bit. The Giants have thrown now rookie pitchers at the Dodgers, two games in a row. They got away with it last night. Getting away with it tonight will be a little bit harder because Sean Anderson is up against Clayton Kershaw, and the rumors of his demise are much exaggerated. He is 6-1 with a 3.13 ERA. No Pablo available tonight. He left the game yesterday with a bruised hand after Max Muncy stepped on him. It was a good night by Dyson. It was a good night by Will Smith. We'll see if the Giants can put together another good night against Clayton Kershaw, which historically has not been the case. Clayton Kershaw's career ERA against the Giants in 330 and a third innings is a 1.72 ERA. Good Lord.
I think that goes down tonight.
Yeah, you probably get that down to 171.
He might be able to win 1 to minus 1.
The highest batting average in tonight's lineup belongs to pitcher Sean Anderson.
Oh!
286 hitter.
Smosh Ampleshash.
The next highest, just take a gander on what the highest hitter's batting average in tonight's Giants lineup is.
235.
Well, 258 for Buster Posey.
Okay.
They have two guys over 250. Donovan Solano is the other one. It is as dire as I can remember. I mean, this has been a long stretch where the Giants have not been a great hitting team. Never do I remember it being this dire, maybe not even close to this.
They haven't had a good week of baseball since the All-Star game in 2016.
To be fair, they did win 5 out of 6, so this might be their best week since
then. This might be the high watermark since the All-Star game of 2016. I'm not kidding.
No, that's real.
No, I mean, it's. I think Grant Brisby, who is a lonely, lonely boy.
Poor guy.
No, not poor guy. He chose this.
Yeah.
No, this is like feeling sorry for the bomb demolitions expert who blows off a hand. You know, it's the price you pay doing business.
Right. You chose C4.
Yeah.
This is what happened.
He wrote that right. I think their team batting average at the time that he wrote this, which was either late last week or early this, was 221, which would be the lowest in club history. 221. It means
Yikes.
You are a barely functional backup shortstop. And I know batting average doesn't matter anymore, but
it is when it's 221.
As a comparison tool, any stat can be useful.
Yeah.
That tells you what your eyes tell you every day. That basically quantifies it.
As we watch another season circle the drain earlier than really any other Giants season in a long time, you ready to go full Rorschach test here, guys? I'm going to give you a name. You tell me if they're on this team 2 years from now, and I'll make it easy on you. The first name is Buster Posey. Look, 2 years from now, he's still on this team. For the foreseeable future, he's not going anywhere. He's under contract through 2021, but 2022, au revoir, Buster. That is going to be a $3 million buyout, and you can pretty much guarantee it. Brandon Belt, under contract through 2021. Is that now realistic?
No, he's gone.
You're asking if he's going to be on the squad in 22, right?
Yes.
No way.
No. But Posey, I will say, will, because while they will buy him out, I think they will renegotiate a deal so that he ends up not retiring as a ceremonial Giant, but retiring as a Giant.
I think it depends.
He's earned that.
I think it depends what they believe they can do with Joey Bart. If they want him catching 120 games a year, they're going to have to find a way to get Posey out of here.
Look at it this way. If you do get rid of Brandon Belt, I finally have somewhere to play Buster Posey, so it doesn't sound like a bad idea. Brandon Crawford.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, he's probably hitting cleanup in 2023. You're right about that. Brandon Crawford. Under contract through 2021, no trade. He's owed $30 million over the next 2 years. Likely not going anywhere? Are you erring on Brandon Crawford forever Giant?
I don't think that Farhan Zaidi is married to anybody.
No, but
and
I think
as a result, I mean, the only reason why any of these guys would still be there is if they haven't been able to draft or trade to replace them with somebody at least minimally better.
I would Crawford is the one who feels most likely to me to be here because I think most National League teams feel like they can live with a shortstop who maybe has a little bit of power but isn't the best hitter in the world if he's playing good defense, which Crawford still does if it's not at the level it once was. And I'm not sure what his value would be elsewhere.
All right. The only way 240 can live in my infield is if it comes with a Golden Glove.
Yeah.
And that brings us to Evan Longoria.
Oh, boy.
Evan Longoria, Giants are stuck with him because this is the ultimate Bobby Evans parting gift, if you think about it. Mm. He is under contract through 2022. I think he's still owed, what, 60?
Is this... Sounds about right, 20-ish a year.
He's been awful. I don't think they can get rid of him. Joe Panik. Is Joe Panik part of this team's future at the age of 28? He doesn't hit for power or average, and I don't think that glove is golden.
Yeah, he gone.
So now...
By the way, on Longoria...
I think we've all agreed that Steven Duggar is the future.
Oh, boy.
Steven Duggar. Like, a chance to be a mainstay in the lineup. This is where we are, folks.
Definitely a chance.
A plus defender, I guess. Flashed the bat, not much, but a little. Doesn't really draw walks. His OBP is under 3. He's under 300. He's 280 on base percentage. Strikes out a ton. Still only 386 at-bats at the major league level, and he looks like he might not be good enough to play for almost anyone, but for the Giants, he's probably their top prospect.
He strikes out almost a third of his at-bats, and he doesn't have power.
So I'm gonna like two-thirds of his at-bats, you tell me?
It's just, I don't... Steven Duggar doesn't look great. That being said, he is the person of all the names you just mentioned who is most likely to be better next year and the year after than he is right now.
Belt's a maybe. Posey, if he gets the full lifetime scholarship, is a maybe. Crawford is a possibly. Longoria, full no. Joe Panik, full no. Steven Duggar.
No, Longoria, full yes. They won't be able to move him.
Oh, okay. I would cross your fingers that he gets sick of hitting 220 and retires before 2022, but... Yikes.
Starting pitchers, Bumgarner. He's gone at the deadline. We know that. Samardzija. There's only one more year of the Shark. He'll take his $18 million and say goodbye at the end of the year. Hard to imagine that contract's movable in any ways. Now we're actually with two players that I think they're going to be here. Tyler Beede, Sean Anderson. The two rookies that they're throwing at the Dodgers in back-to-back nights here. Of all the names that I'm going through,
yep.
Steven Duggar, Tyler Beede, Sean Anderson. I'll give you one more. Reyes Maranta.
Hard to hold on to relief pitching that long. I don't know what his contract situation is. I can check in a couple seconds here.
Will Smith feels like he's about to be traded. Tony Watson, another arm the Giants might look to move. He's 34. Not a lot of future, not a lot of value.
Maranta will still be arbitration eligible, so you will have him in 2022.
Mark Melanson.
Gone.
Under contract through 2020. He'll depart with Samardzija, obviously, after the end of next year. But, like, 2022 has to be the year that Zaidi has circled mentally as the I gotta have it right. I gotta be not contending, but have my arrows pointed to even critics agree there's something decent coming somewhere in this season, either in developed players, a crop. I don't like.
Well, and you kind of just laid it out. You'll have a lot more money to spend at that point. You know, whatever the Giants' artificial budget is set at.
Right.
You'll have a lot more money to spend in summer 2022, and you'll have had time to clear out some of the garbage and get your system right. So that's where you'd hope that's the offseason you're going out and adding big names to the young talent you've assembled and trying to win some.
Well, and he would hope to have, you know, by 2022, that's three draft classes underneath his belt. Just look at the way the Giants drafted this year. It was a full-fledged spit in the eye of the way it used to be done, where it was basically pitching, 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 pitching. That's all we do, right?
Yep. Now what's a hitter? We're going to develop a damn hitter.
Corner infielder, corner outfielder, corner infield, corner outfielder, corner, and you need it desperately. With the draft classes, look, 3 years from now, Bart, Ramos, Bishop, these guys should be coming into, well, they're here and ready, or they ain't going to be.
So certainly Bart and Ramos are expected to be here by then. I don't know as much about Bishop.
Well, I'm always very leery about Giants who are highly touted because I go back to Gary Brown.
Oof, that was rough.
Who was nobody's ever been more touted than he was.
He was the fastest man on the world.
Christian Arroyo?
No, Gary Brown was years of what Christian Arroyo got for 1 year.
Yeah, Christian Arroyo eventually got moved for a useful piece, and he is playing in the major leagues now.
Still don't know where Gary Brown is.
I mean, it's a great alias. But no, it just that's the guy.
Gary Brown is what Christian Arroyo goes coming. By at hotels on
it's,
the road.
It's all you heard for 3 years.
Yeah.
And he never got there.
Nope. Dan Ortmeier checks in under the name of. So, current roster. And I know I just didn't go through every guy on the roster. I think the Giants on their 25-man roster have no more than four or five guys who have a strong chance of being on the roster in 2022.
And I think you might be high on that.
Yeah, I think four or five is ambitious. And here's the real question to me. It's not how many guys will be left, because as we just went through that list, as Ray pointed out, there's some guys who might be left despite your best efforts to get rid of them. The real question is, how many guys on today's roster do you want to be on the team in 2022? And the answer is two or three.
NBA notes from today. A couple of stories to tell you about. Al Horford began the day saying that he was going to decline his Celtics option, exercising the right to say no to $30 million over one and maybe renegotiate with Boston to get a better deal, sweeten the pot, if you will, beyond one season. Things change quickly. Now, Shams is reporting that Al Horford didn't opt out to swing back in at another number. He opted out to get out. And it looks very much like the Boston Celtics had two all-stars leaving Beantown in Kyrie and Al Horford. So there is how that story has moved throughout the day. Secondly, Harrison Barnes has declined his option, a $25.1 million player option. He's going to become an unrestricted free agent. Barnes and the Kings remain open to exploring a long-term deal after a successful partnership in the few months of the 2018-19 season. Barnes could join what promises to be a free agent landscape that includes 10 teams with over $20 million in salary cap space. What is the best move for Harrison Barnes? Are the Kings keeping him in their right mind, or would that be a bad move for the Kings? I think Harrison Barnes is the kind of guy you can use as an example for a young team. I don't know how much of an on-court contributor example, and for that price tag, I don't know. But where are you guys on Harrison Barnes and what he means to this league at this point in his career?
I think he's a guy, meaning that there's a bunch of guys just like him. I don't think there's a whole lot he can be except a veteran who smooths the heads of those who are better than him at this point. I mean, he's as average as you can possibly be.
Yeah, but that suggests I think he's better than average. I mean, I don't want to overstate what Harrison Barnes is, but, you know, 45 from the field, 40 from three, 80% free throw shooter, decent rebounder. He's a little stiff.
The biggest sin of Harrison Barnes' entire basketball life was never living up to the billing.
Yeah, but that really goes back to high school.
He was a really useful player on a championship team.
Yes, and I think he could be that again. I mean, for example, and to be clear, this is not available. If he was a mid-level exception candidate, I'd 100% take him back on the Warriors to start at small forward in October when the season begins.
Knows the team, knows the system. instantly plug and play? Of
but
course
even if
you
he didn't,
that. Yeah.
I'm saying even if he didn't, right. he's better than most of the guys we're talking about contending teams going after. The Austin Rivers of the world, the Damari Carrolls. Harrison Barnes is better than those guys. So
he's going to be a great Knick.
The problem is he's likely to be overpaid. I think the Knicks are a possibility. I think it's possible he stays with the Kings. And the Kings might be the best spot for him because I think they have two or three guys they expect to be better than him, and that's about where you want Harrison slotted in terms of his rank on the team.
$25.1 million.
If he gets more than that, he's overpaid.
We all agree that he is, you know, it's unbelievable, though, that you can be a middle-of-the-road NBA player, look at $25 million and say, oh, I can do better. I can get better guarantees than that.
He is a 26-year-old kid with a ton of good experience and some pretty solid statistics to fall back on. Like, it is crazy, but he's pretty good.
He is. He's not great.
He's not Kevin Durant,
not
quite
all-star.
Obviously. Could he be an all-star, though, someday? I wouldn't rule it out. Is it super likely? Maybe not. But he should be entering his prime. He's a plus athlete. He's a good shooter. I don't know. Maybe I like him a little more than others, and I'm not trying to put him on a pedestal, but he's useful. He helps teams.
Steph Curry is probably the least selfish player in all of basketball. The sacrifices that he made for talent to assemble around him, the guy is completely egoless. And we have so many in the country who watch this game going, you know what I would love? I'd love to see Steph do it all by himself, even though technically the first time around that was the experiment we already sort of ran. And, yes, he did it with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, clearly. But, you know, the experiment everyone demands already happened. But it still wasn't enough to satisfy the demand. So you wanted Steph to do it with nothing around him. Well, you got your wish. It's going to be a Steph Draymond high pick and roll as the single best weapon the Warriors probably have to deploy going into next year. I look at how the Warriors are just kind of hamstrung in terms of just, you know, what options do they have? I don't know if they have a better option than Steph shooting it a little bit more. And this is where we started the show, and I kind of want to come back to it. Curry Palooza and usage rates going up. I'm not saying minutes rates. I'm not saying burn him out. I'm asking a guy who is the most natural shooter in the NBA to shoot the ball five more times. And if that's a selfish, on-court, conscious decision, it should be easier to make because you're not passing the ball to KD or Klay Thompson. You're now looking at maybe, you know, Quinn Cook, Yurebko. You're looking at Jacob Evans. You're looking at the draft pick who is still unidentified at this point in time and will learn his identity on Thursday. It sounds less Warrior-like than we're used to, but I think we all need to agree that the Warriors are less Warrior-like than they used to be. Might be time to change a little bit.
They're less talented than they were last year and the year before. But I'm not sure that necessarily means they're less Warrior-like than they used to be. And I think if they can be Warrior-like in the way they were in 2015-16, that is a higher usage for Steph than we've seen the last couple years. But it's not the dominant high usage we've seen from some other players in the last couple years. And I think that's sort of the happy medium they got to find.
But that's why the draft choice they take, or the two draft choices they take,
they matter.
One of them has to be an immediate contributor.
Someone who
and
can
I don't mean
take
somebody
shots.
Playing. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is why, I mean, I looked through I think 40 mock drafts, and 21 of them had them taking a big, 19 of them had taking a shooter. And I think you've got to get a wing.
I don't think there's any chance they take a big with that first round pick, especially when you look at how in three consecutive finals, I want to say, they've ended up with a glut of big men they can't play.
What do you got? What do you need?
They don't need
actually
more
have
bigs.
A little center depth for a team that isn't very deep at center.
At the very least, they should have Looney and Jones back. Even if Cousins is gone, they should have Looney and Jones back, and it shouldn't be too hard to retain Bell if you wanted to do that. You don't have any scoring. When Klay Thompson's out, you don't have any shooters. It's they got to answer that question, and I think there's a handful of guys who you at least look at and say, well, he can start shooting in the NBA tomorrow, and that's what I'd be on the lookout for.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit I haven't seen much of this guy, but the name that kept coming up was Dylan Windler, the guy from Belmont.
I watched some highlight videos
He's
of him.
Awfully thin, but he can shoot.
He can really shoot it. He's got a quick release. He looks a little awkward, but he actually is not an elite, but a solid handler and mover.
Ian Clark, and, Belmont.
Yeah, this is a very different looking kid than Ian Clark.
Yeah.
But
they were not separated at birth.
No, but he looks like he's maybe 6'6 or so. Like, he's tall, lanky, and dead-eye long-range jump shooter. So might not be a bad option.
888
6'7", 190.
There you go.
6'7", that's a big kid.
Yeah, he's big. And lefty.
888-957-9570. Got a guy here on the text line. Said Carson Edwards.
Not bad.
Look, not a big kid, but a shooter and an athlete.
I just don't know if they can afford to have another 6-foot guy in the backcourt. That's my only concern.
Also,
no defense.
I don't like his defense at all for a team that, frankly, its failures can be tied pretty consistently to when they didn't defend.
And yeah.
Now that said, I don't know if Windler can defend either.
He's at least longer, which helps. And Alex behind the glass just mentioning Windler also did have a workout with the Warriors, if not today, then this week at some point.
You're not going to make me defend the kid from Purdue, are you?
Come on, people!
No, look, Carson Edwards is one of the more capable scorers, bucket getters in the entire draft. But he's 6 feet tall and he's not going to be an NBA defender. So
he's
are you going to draft him to play him exclusively when Steph Curry is not on the floor?
He's a little Isaiah Thomas-y for me.
Yeah. Which is a very helpful player in the right circumstance. I'm not sure this is that circumstance.
Not the Isaiah Thomas Piston. You were an MVP candidate, and then you weren't.
Yeah, someone mentioned Kazi Akpala, the Stanford kid, and I'm very torn on him. But he
as
certainly...
As many people like him as hate him, and I don't think they can take a stretch.
The problem with him is he's a disappearer. So he's got length and skill and offensive ability coming out of his pores. And some nights you don't know he's on the floor when Stanford is playing like a Washington State or something. That's a problem.
Harrison Barnes should go to the Lakers. This is from Tristan and Marin. Actually, it's not a bad text at all.
Terrible.
He says, do a 4-year backloaded contract for the last year, which would be the first year post-LeBron. That's when you really get paid. In the first 3 years, you leave a little bit of money on the table, and you can build a role-player team around. Look, I don't think it's up to Harrison Barnes' agent to build the Lakers.
The problem is he's basically Kuzma.
It's not the worst idea I've ever heard.
Only older.
Yeah, he's older Kuzma. Yeah. I mean, there's similar players and guys that, yeah, they'll get you 18, 19 points if you give them enough shots, but they're never going to be a real centerpiece.
Now, another name I keep seeing getting connected to the
Warriors. Draft-wise?
Yeah. Is Talen Horton Tucker, who's really young, really raw. But if he's got the kind of, and I hate to use this cliche, basketball IQ that will be required of him, he could be the kind of guy who could be a shooter and a slasher, which would help at least space the floor.
I forgot where he went to school.
He went to
Iowa State. Thank
yes.
you. Yes.
6'4", but he's big. He's 235. I mean, he's a bit of a big brick crap house. But he'd be the sort of guy who gives them kind of a different look. But again, he can't be a knucklehead. And I have no idea whether he's a genius or a dope, but the Warriors cannot afford to have a guy who Curry basically has to walk through every possession.
Another guy I've seen not always slipping to them, but sort of in that same mold of a guy who can shoot and potentially defend given his size is Cam Johnson, the North Carolina senior.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be available for them at that point.
Maybe not, but
The lowest I've seen him is 20. No, 24.
Yeah, he's been mid-20s in a few places, but I do think if somehow he does fall – I think they'd kind of love, where a lot of teams wouldn't, I think the Warriors would kind of love a guy who's 22, 23 years old.
What's got a better chance of happening for the Warriors next season? The pick that they choose on Thursday showing up and contributing, or Jacob Evans III actually showing up for a sophomore year and contributing? We're coming on back with that question next, and a little bit later on, Nav Bhatia, the super fan from the Toronto Raptors. We promised him a victory lap. We are men of our words. That's going to happen around 6:45 tonight here on 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Almost at the end of our show today, Nav Bhatia. Can I say, like, of the Toronto Raptors? Like, he yes. might as well be at this point.
He's essentially a club employee.
The super fan is joining us coming up.
It is my understanding that a ring is forthcoming.
It should be. I mean, come on. He probably did as much as Siakam to help him over the finish line here.
Except for the playing part.
Except for all those rebounds points.
Close. You're right close.
About that. Again, stop killing my talking points. This is the question that we went to break with. Better chance of happening. Jacob Evans contributing next year, or the player whose identity we don't even know and will learn on Thursday being a contributor next year? I guess my question is, do you believe Jacob Evans in a sophomore year turning it around, finding it at all?
I think his greatest failing is shooting, and I think shooting is the hardest thing to develop in a pro if you get him and he's not a shooter. So if they're looking for him to do anything other than be a body, then no, I don't think so. But if they think he has other skills that can make him a role player who doesn't score for you, yeah.
I think they see him in sort of a bench-based Andre Roberson type of role. Come in, play good defense.
It'd be great if they got that out. I mean, if he turned
Roberson's
into that,
not the right comp. I'm trying to think of the right comp because they see him as a combo guard and a guy who can handle and take Curry off point occasionally. I think in his second year, you'll be lucky if you get the handling and defense part of it, and that would be great. I'm with Ray. It's hard to fix a guy's shot, especially one as broken as Evans was when he arrived. That said, clearly improved a lot over the season. And when we sit here and Mark Spears says he thinks Jacob Evans has a chance to be the starter at shooting guard next season, I don't think he says that without an idea that the Warriors would like to see that happen. If that makes sense.
I don't know if they want to see it happen, but they're willing to consider it.
I think that it's not their ideal scenario, obviously,
no, but
with Clay out.
It's not a scenario they'd feel comfortable with because I don't think they ever had to contemplate it before.
Right.
But I also think that they are loath to sort of badmouth a guy who's in their system right now.
That's fair.
There's no reason to say, oh, he has no chance to be a starter. That serves them not at all.
I say all this to say I definitely think there's a better chance the draft pick makes an impact.
I don't know if that shot can be found, but he played a lot of defense at Cincinnati, too.
No, he's an elite defender.
I mean, Xavier came back. Or who was Cincinnati playing? Who was
I think it was Xavier.
Yeah, I think he fouls out. He fouls out of the game, and then all of a sudden, the other team came roaring back because he wasn't out there to play any defense anymore. This guy can play a little bit of defense, and that is how I think he buys himself some minutes because, God, if you think Klay Thompson's hard to replace from a scoring punch, he is defending their best two. I mean, he is on the primary scorer of every team they play every night. That's where they're going to really miss Klay.
Yeah, and that's the reason you can't start Quinn Cook under any circumstances, no matter what happens with the roster. You can't have Steph and Quinn Cook in your backcourt.
Right,
you could have Jacob Evans guarding the best guard on the other team while Steph doesn't. That is something that is conceivable.
And I think that's a good point on a number of topics because Curry without Thompson guarding the best guy, it becomes a defensive liability.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas he could be a league average defender taking the second shooter. But not if you have to put him on. I mean, because that means now he's running around even more and he's expending more energy at a time when you're trying not. You're worried about his usage rate.
At a time when we're talking about how he should be expending more energy on offense, you certainly don't want him taking on more defensively. So I think whatever they do in the offseason, whether it's in the draft, whether it's Evans, whether it's mid-level exception, veteran minimum, they got to find guys who can defend the two and the three to play alongside Steph Curry.
We've all agreed, I think, that as much of a long shot as it feels, DeMarcus Cousins returning is the best available option the Warriors have to just get right on opening night next year. Like a bona fide NBA talent playing alongside Steph Curry is exactly what DeMarcus would be if he were to come back for a, well, let me really show you what I can do, and now I have the opportunity to do it because we're not looking for shots for Durant and Klay Thompson, and we don't need to make sure that Andre Iguodala is happy tonight. Like, I literally can take as many shots as Steph Curry does. That's cool. We're all good with that. Okay. Steve Kerr asked about the chances of DeMarcus returning.
I think there's a chance. I would say that the hope is that frankly, that he can do a lot better financially than what we could offer him. But who knows? You know, every year is different. There are a lot more teams with cap room this summer than last summer. And this summer is going to be, it'll be a wild free agent market. And we have to figure out, you know, our own situation, particularly with Clay and Kevin, and how all that shakes out.
If it only takes one, I think DeMarcus is going to have at least two GMs who are willing to spend big on him. I mean, it's
yeah, I did not hear in that a guy who thinks Cousins is coming back.
I heard a guy who thinks it's much more a possibility than he did early in the season when he said, absolutely not, we don't expect him to be here after this year.
He continues.
I could absolutely foresee a place for DeMarcus here if he wanted to come back. It's just a question of, you know, what are his goals? What's out there for him?
In other words, it ain't us, it's him.
That's
if
right.
He wants to come back, open arms is the best way to describe us.
Yeah, but I think they're pretty much, I think they're resigned to it. Two, I don't know how hot they are for it. I mean, I don't know how they're thinking now because so much has changed, but I'm not as awestruck by the year that he had as most people are. I think he's now two injuries, you know, between this and his halcyon days, one of them really significant. The other one that didn't really heal when they brought him back, I don't think, because he looked like he was laboring. So I don't know how valuable he is anymore.
He's got 4 months.
Somebody's going to – that. What I'm saying is I think somebody will take a flyer on him, but I don't know that he's ever going to be 75% of that guy anymore. I don't see it, and I don't see him running up and down the floor with this team.
The fun never stops. Brian Windhorst is reporting that the Cleveland Cavaliers have talked Kevin Love into trades, but it's hard to find the right deal for him. Kevin Love now out on that block.
Boy, does he make a lot of money, and boy, can I not imagine what contending team would want to add him at that price.
I'll tell you what, he, for a guy who was on a championship team, he is the ultimate modern-day compiler. He built up a lot of numbers on a lot of bad Minnesota teams, but that's what he did. I mean, I don't think he was a dramatic part of the Cavalier teams. I mean, he was second best because he was second best after Irving left, but I think we saw what he was, and what he was perfect for a team that's going to finish 11th.
What'd you think about the way David Lee used to get described as the NBA's emptiest double-double? Do you think Kevin Love is in that category?
Maybe, but I always thought that was kind of a harsh analysis of David Lee because he was not on a lot of good teams.
No, he was on a terrible Knicks team and a terrible Warriors team.
So, I mean, if you want to say those are empty double-doubles, fine, but somebody has to get them even on bad teams. Did he make any of his teams worse? No.
No.
And neither did Kevin Love. He was not a detriment to bad Minnesota teams. He wasn't really a detriment to the Cleveland teams he was on. He was just sort of there.
It was amazing. This guy used to be like, all right, 17, and then like he'd grab you like 22 rebounds. Like he used to be a little bit of a glass cleaner.
Well, but again, surrounded by the players he was surrounded by, he was going to be. I mean, Ben Wallace, you know, who is a much better, you know, rebounder than he was.
It's big.
Yeah, was accused of the same thing. Just that he was a rebound collector. I mean, I and again, this sounds like I'm dogging Kevin Love, but you can only be as good as the players you're with. And for the most part, the players he was with weren't great.
Kevin Love hasn't played more than 60 games since the 2015-16 season. He was a 38.5% shooter from the field last season. I don't want any part of it.
So basically,
I'm not saying I want any part of it. I'm just saying
Cleveland has announced that they're cleaning out their garage.
Sure. But
why
I
wouldn't that?
That's great news to learn.
I don't know how they move Kevin Love. I really don't. They can say he's available all they want. I don't know why anybody would want to add him at that price.
Yeah, I mean, just...
Is he an expiring contract?
Not until 2023.
Ouch!
They just signed him to a four-year extension heading into last year. and that doesn't kick in until this year. Like, he has a four-year extension kicking in right now.
Wow.
And that's why general managers matter. And that's why...
And there was no general manager. If I remember correctly, that deal was signed when there was essentially no general manager at all.
Dan Gilbert and the night janitor did that deal. Yeah.
What's the harder job, moving Kevin Love or moving Chris Paul? That feels like
the answer
whole,
is John Wall.
Yeah, that feels 888-957-9570. We made a promise to Nav Bhatia of the Toronto Raptors that should his team win an NBA title, he could victory lap that. And, you know...
He was way too gracious. I was disappointed in him.
Yeah, we are not going to renege on that. Nav Bhatia coming up courtesy of Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
If the Toronto Raptors win the championship, you can come on my show and you can victory lap it all you want. I will let you do that.
Thank you very much. And I'm going to say, let's go Raptors. Wrap it up.
Wrap it up. They did indeed. The Toronto Raptors won. And we made a bet with Nav Bhatia, the Raptors super fan, that if they did finish off the Warriors, he could come take his victory lap. And here he is. Nav, when you talk about us, make sure you say they paid their bet. Absolutely. How are you, man?
I'm really, really good. I want to thank you all. I want to take this opportunity to thank everybody in Bay Area, Golden State fans, everybody. You guys are amazing, amazing guys. I tell you, you are, I think, classy people, not just in the organization, but the fans. I was treated so good. I felt at home there. The last game, I was when we won the game, I was sitting behind the Warrior bench, and the first guy who congratulated me was nobody else other than the classy guy, head coach Steve Kerr. He came, hugged me, and told me, congratulations. Yeah, we have lost, but I'm happy for you, super fan. And I tell you, meant a lot. He talked from heart. And I tell you, I told him he is the best. And then your general manager congratulated me. Some of the fans came. You know, it's not easy congratulating somebody after you lose the game, you know, especially the champions, the greatest team on earth, the Golden State Warriors losing a game and coming and their fans coming. So it was amazing. I have to thank everybody. They treated me for a free coffees, free lunches in Golden State and invited me to stay next time I'm in Golden State at their houses.
Well,
so kudos to you guys. Kudos to you guys. You are, you know, you are maybe... I've never experienced that. I've never experienced the championship thing. And I want to thank you right at the beginning of this interview. I want to thank everyone.
Well, we've got Nav Bhatia, Raptors super fan, on with us. We had him in studio, and the Raptors obviously wrapped it up. The party that you guys were able to have inside Oracle Arena was impressive. How many Raptors fans made it into all the games here in Oakland. But, boy, there were a lot of people in Toronto yesterday. What was that scene like, Nav?
You know, I got to tell you, I'm once again very blessed, humbled yesterday when they made me the Grand Marshal of the 2.5 million people parade in the city. It was so humbling for me to see that many fans chanting Superfan, chanting, you know, all the good things, you know, with the We the North and all that. It was just an amazing feeling. Now, you know, I think it has still not sunk in. I have to be very honest with everyone. It has still not sunk in right now that we are the champions, that we beat the best team, Golden State Warrior, not just the best team, but the classiest team and the, on this earth. And it's still sinking in for the last 4 days since we had that win. I haven't slept maybe hardly any 2-3 hours a night, and I'm planning to sleep tonight.
So looking forward, obviously, we don't know exactly what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard, but I'm just wondering, no matter what happens, it seems like he'll always be a hero in Toronto. Like he has secured his Toronto Raptors legacy with this, right?
Well, he better be signing with us, because otherwise, when he comes here, we are going to be on his butt. I'm going to be waving the flags against him. Doesn't matter. He better be on the Raptor team. Otherwise, I'm throwing that towel when he's on the free throws and all that. So, but I think, joking aside, I believe that we have a good chance in retaining this superstar and the best two-way players on this earth. And I'm hoping for all the fans' sake. He's been given a lot of love. He's the king, not just of a city. He's the king of Canada right now, and I think he understands that. And I believe that, God willingly, he will be signing with the Raptors again.
Let's play worst-case scenario for a second, though. If he doesn't, how will he be greeted by everybody other than you the first time his new team comes to Toronto?
Well, no, even I'm going to greet him very good. I just talked about the free throw time. I'm going to be welcoming, and he will get an arousing welcome by everybody, a standing ovation. But on the free throw when he comes, then I got to do, and he's got to do what he's got to do. like I told you always, for 48 minutes, we are competing. Before that and after that, we are brothers.
Nav, the one thing that we definitely got from you as soon as we met you is how much you love the game of basketball. It's bigger for you than even just the Toronto Raptors. You really do love this game. And as someone who loves this game, how bad do you feel that we didn't quite get the NBA Finals that we might have got should this happened at full strength? Obviously, the injuries to Kevin Durant and to Klay Thompson changed it dramatically.
You know, you are very correct. You are so correct. And, you know, my heart feels for those guys. Those are both. KD is a superstar. And you know what? I wish him a very early recovery, because NBA without KD and Klay is not a better place. We need them. We need them for the NBA. They are not just the players for you, Golden State. They are the entertaining players. They entertain the whole world. And they entertain me. They entertain all the Raptor fans. I wish them. And it gives me, you know, I'm just wishing that both the guys come back as soon as they can. And I tell you, we are going to give them an arousing reception when they come, when their name is called in Raptors Arena, Scotiabank Arena, when they come back. And they will get a standing ovation, both those guys. Those are classy people, they are elegant people, and above all, they are superstars.
Well, Nav, all we can say is thanks so much. It was fun getting to know you throughout this entire run. You're, I think, what we like the most about the NBA Finals, since it didn't go our way. But it was a pleasure meeting you. We do hope that you enjoy the spotlight that you have on you right now. I got to ask, are you getting a ring? Like, of course you are, right?
Oh, my God. I don't know that yet. Should I get a ring?
Yeah, if I'm the Toronto Raptors.
I don't think you did enough. I think you need to work harder.
Maybe you can start something and say that the Superfan deserves a ring, but I don't know right now. I'm getting whatever I'm getting. I'm enjoying it, and God is good. And I want to tell you, I might joke around a little bit here for you a little bit. We are just storing this this trophy for you to get again next year. We are just borrowing it for 1 year maybe right now. But you know what? we might get greedy and we might want to keep it again one year.
That's it. That's what happens. You start winning one, you want another, you get greedy. It's the disease of more, and you're allowed to have it. Nav, thank you very much. Have yourself a wonderful offseason and a wonderful year next year, and maybe we will see you again.
Well, I hope that you don't forget me now. Invite me in off-season also sometime on a radio chat. I love talking, especially to the Warrior fans. They are the best. They are the best on the road. They are amazing. And give them my love, everybody, the Warrior fans. You guys are greatest. You are classiest. And thank you for all the love you gave me during this final.
Nav, thank you, buddy. Take care.
Thank you.
Nav Bhatia. There you go. Bet is paid. Let it be known. We're like the Lannisters. We have settled all family debts. It is all done. Thanks very much to everyone for tuning in today. This was a fun show today. A great Tuesday. Thanks to everyone who called in for the Tuesday trifecta. We're going to remind you that we're all going to be out at the Warriors facility coming up on Thursday. Make sure you stick around for our draft day coverage of the Warriors draft. Thanks to Arash Markazi for joining us, Alex Pavlovich, Nav, who we just talked to from Toronto. Thank you very much, Alex, Albi, Ray, and Matt. Great stuff all the way around. Thank you for tuning in. And remember, sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.